Paul Sweeney and Tom Keene. Guess we'd rather be in Colorado, and we do that right now with Zach Cohen of Bloomberg Government. Love having him on. Zach, I notice in Colorado with early in-person voting, there are 411 drop boxes and 121 voting centers. That expands out on November 8th to 350 voting centers. Am I right that Colorado is so interesting because of a true Republican-Democratic divide?
Certainly the state has trended toward Democrats in recent years. It's interesting you mentioned the sort of drop boxes. Colorado is one of the few states that does basically all of its voting by mail, whereas the rest of the country sort of woke up to it in increasing numbers at the onset of the COVID pandemic. You know, Democrats hold all of the major statewide offices in Colorado. Democratic presidential candidates have won the state pretty handily, but down ballot candidates tend to be in more competitive races, and so that's where it could get interesting with some of these congressional races this fall.
About 6 weeks ago, I spent 2 hours studying Pueblo, Colorado, down by Colorado Springs and out flat, huge Latino population. What are you learning about a Latino vote in a Latino Colorado?
So Pueblo is new to the Colorado 3rd District, which is Congresswoman Lauren Boebert's new district, a little more conservative. But Pueblo is one of those places that sort of historically has been a little competitive and has, and it's certainly sort of at the epicenter of this race between Boebert and her sort of Democratic challenger, Adam Frisch. But the Latino vote, I think, is particularly interesting in my mind in the 8th District, the sort of new district that Colorado got in redistricting. That's the most Hispanic district. I think it's something like 38, 39, 40% is Latino, and that district could elect the first Latina ever from Colorado.
Where's that geography? What part of Colorado is the 8th district?
It stretches from the Denver suburbs all the way up to Fort Collins. I was out there for the primary. Really beautiful drive. There's oil rigs along the highway. You can see the Rockies on your left as you drive north, but it's got a little bit of everything. It's got a big oil industry, as I mentioned.
Yeah,
got this big Latino population. That is the race to watch for sure.
And it's the only district where they serve exclusively Coors 3-2 beer.
Yes, absolutely. And they're getting some snow in the Rockies as well, which is good news for us skiers. You mentioned Representative Lauren Boebert. My recollection was she's heavily favored to win a re-election. Is there competition there for her now?
She definitely is favored to win re-election. This is a district that favored Trump by, I think, about 8 points in 2020, but it's a new district that's even more conservative, frankly, than the one that she won in 2020 when she upset an incumbent Republican congressman, Scott Tipton, in the primary, and then won the general election on then-President Trump's coattails. But she's certainly treating it like it's a real race. She's running these negative TV ads against this Democrat, Adam Frisch, who won the primary as a sort of moderate voter, saying we need to boost energy production but support abortion rights, and he's sort of straddling an interesting line as well. And he's seen a massive influx of fundraising. His internal polling shows the race tightening, given the sort of dynamics of the district and how hard it is to poll some of Trump's supporters. I think you got to give Boebert the upper hand, but certainly it's a fun race to watch and something that people in the district are certainly paying attention to.
Yeah, it's interesting. Up until today and reading your story, Zach, I didn't really know that that Colorado really had some competition. I just assumed it was kind of a pro, you know, that there's a lot of Trump support there as well. We think about Georgia, we think about Pennsylvania, but is it becoming more competitive in that state? I mean, is it? I know the Democrats are gaining with some of the Latino vote, but is it becoming more competitive?
I think so. And I think especially this year, you might recall Senator Michael Bennet is up for re-election this year against Republican Joe O'Dea. And Bennet has had his fair share of tough races, you know, in 2010 and in 2016. Yeah. And, you know, 2022, he told me back, you know, a couple of months ago, this is probably be one of the more competitive races he's had to run. And there's been a ton of spending, mostly by Democrats, just to try to make sure that there's no surprises there. Certainly most of the attention is on that 8th district, again, from that new district that's open between Denver and Fort Collins.
And now the question everybody wants to know, and Zach Cohen's expert at this, on a nationwide basis, Zach, midterm polling, really? Do you trust it?
It's getting harder and harder for pollsters to get an accurate read of the electorate. Mostly, for the most part, people have gotten rid of their landline phones. You know, despite the fact I'm calling you from one, most people
Wait a minute. Paul, has a pollster ever called you?
I believe so. I usually don't answer.
Zach, really? I've never had one call me.
Well, you must be not a terribly interesting person to talk to, Tom.
Thank you. No, yeah, that's what they say on a daily basis here. Keep it up, young Cohen. Tell us about polling.
It's certainly harder to reach live caller pollers, which is sort of the gold standard in polling. They're trying to reach people instead online or on cell phones, because the issue is it's illegal to robo-dial, right? But you can robo-dial a landline. You can't do that with cell phones.
Is that right?
And so it's harder to get a truly representative sample. The other issue is, frankly, people just don't pick up their phones anymore. They're worried about spam calls. And yep. So maybe you have gotten a pollster call and just thought it was spam, Tom. Maybe you're missing your opportunity.
You're right. If I don't recognize the phone number, I'm not picking it up. What's the is there a technological fix to that? Because if I'm in the business of politics, I need to figure out a fix here.
Yeah, no, and that's something I think pollsters basically since 2016 have been trying to figure out. This cycle, I think the general assumption is that polling tends to favor Democrats because it's been harder and harder to get some of Trump's supporters, who, as much as they distrust government, media, big business, they also distrust pollsters, especially after polls tended to show Hillary Clinton the lead, and then, of course, Donald Trump won.
Well, Zach, pro tip, since you're out in Colorado doing this, the Sink in Boulder is a place you want to have a beverage of your choice. Zach Cohen, thank you so much. Bloomberg Government.